You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us. The JX starts today with the debrief, where JPR reporters discuss the stories they've been covering this week, including maternity care closing at Ashland Community Hospital, more money to train construction managers, and controversy over a proposed solar farm. I'm Maria Carter, JPR's news director.
I'm Roman Battaglia, politics, science, and environment reporter.
I'm Jane Vaughn, housing, homelessness, and education reporter.
And I'm Justin Higginbottom, public health and safety reporter.
Justin, you reported on changes coming to Asante's Ashland Community Hospital. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, so Asante announced this week that they'll convert Ashland Community Hospital into a satellite campus of Rogue Regional Medical Center, and that's in Medford, about 11 miles away. So that means the hospital in Ashland will end inpatient care, so when you need an overnight stay, for example, and also they're closing their birth center. It'll continue, the Ashland Community Hospital will continue emergency care and some outpatient services like surgery and imaging and labs and things like that, but this transition is planned to happen by spring of 2026. And the announcement really, you know, sent shockwaves through the community here in Ashland because the hospital, and especially its birth center, has just been a staple in the region for a long time.
So what are the reasons that Asante is giving for reducing the care options in Ashland?
Asante's CEO blamed a couple things. So first, he said the financial and regulatory landscape for Oregon's hospital has worsened for hospitals in the state. And Asante, the company listed a bunch of laws that they say have become burdensome. State staffing regulations, for example, higher hospital licensing fees, federal Medicaid changes, and they even mentioned tariffs in there. But another reason is Asante gave for the change is related to the closure of the birth center, and that's, they said that there's just declining birth rates in Ashland. Asante said in a statement the hospital had only 37 births from Ashland residents this year in 2025.
Only 37 births? That's not very much, but like you reported that number might be a bit misleading.
Yeah, it is a bit misleading because so those are only births from Ashland residents. The statement was clear about that. And I interviewed nurses who work in the birth center currently. They said the total number of deliveries is actually more like 200 as of early December, over 200 actually. And that's because a lot of non-Ashland residents travel here to give birth, really from around the region. And from these interviews, I got a sense why. So Ashland Community Hospital has some very unique maternity options. It's the only hospital in Southern Oregon that facilitates water births. It also has its own doula and midwife team to help mothers. And the staff there are really experts at what's called physiological births. So that's a delivery method that tries to avoid unnecessary medical interventions.
Like more natural type births.
Yeah, and it's really for low risk births. But having these resources at a hospital is great because if things go wrong, then you have all of the traditional medical expertise there too. So these nurses said that people will really travel from across Oregon and Northern California to give birth here because this model is so unique.
So the city of Ashland used to own the hospital. It sold the facility to Asante in 2013. You looked at that agreement. What caught your eye there?
Yeah, so what caught my eye was a clause that said Asante must operate the facility as a general hospital for 15 years. So that would be through 2028. According to in general hospital, that's a, you know, that's codified in Oregon law. According to that law, it must provide at least general medical, maternity, and surgical services. And if Asante fails to do that, it must pay the city $4 million in kind of like a fee. Asante hasn't responded to a request for comment about whether they are in violation of this agreement. Ashland City Attorney did get back to me, though. He said it's their understanding that Asante will continue to operate the hospital in Ashland under Rogue Regional's general hospital license. So it seems like Asante's trying to get around this by calling the Ashland Hospital a satellite campus of this general hospital in Medford. The city also said in a statement that nothing has actually happened yet, so these changes are meant to occur in the spring. And so when these changes do take place, then they'll kind of be looking at it and they'll be monitoring it. And the statement did leave open the possibility for legal challenges, so that's what we'll be following.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Justin. Jane, you wrote a story this week about a recent grant for a new construction management degree at Oregon Tech. First, tell us about that program.
So they launched a construction management degree this fall, and the goal of that program is to fill a crucial workforce shortage in that field. And so there's basically two tracks in the program. One of them is focused on heavy construction, which is things like roads, bridges, tunnels, and the other one is focused on general construction, so commercial and residential buildings. So a student at Oregon Tech can earn a bachelor's or a minor in this program. They say there's a lot of need in the region for that sort of thing, and they're focusing specifically on the management level of things. So I talked to Neslihan Alp, who's a dean at Oregon Tech, who created this program, and she says the only similar degree in the state is at OSU, but their program is construction engineering management, and so it falls under their umbrella of engineering, but Oregon Tech's falls under the umbrella of management, because Alp says that they talked with construction companies and industry experts, and that's what they say they need, is that managerial level support and people who can fill those roles. And so that's the gap that they're really specifically trying to fill with this program.
And so where did this grant come from?
It comes from a nonprofit called the Beavers Charitable Trust, which is focused on the construction industry. They gave $500,000 to Oregon Tech for this program. And that money is going to be used to, number one, provide scholarships to students who are in the heavy construction track. And then number two, to hire a director to oversee and run the program. They have an interim director right now. I will note that the reason that that money will only be used for scholarships in the heavy construction track is because that's what the Beavers Trust focuses on, is heavy construction. But Neslihan Alp clarified that there are plenty of other scholarships for students in the general construction track as well. So there are scholarships available for both of those. And the reason for the Beavers giving this money, they say, is that they have a lot of concerns about this industry in general, an aging workforce. And so they're trying to really invest in the growth of this industry. And they really want young people to see this as a viable career. They want to create strong career options. And so that is their goal with giving this money to Oregon Tech.
Yeah, so they're investing in the growth of the industry. What's the long-term plan for the program?
So right now, there are about 10 students enrolled. Program just launched this fall. Neslihan Alp wants to increase that to 100 students in the next couple years. She thinks it's going to be really popular. She's worried about having enough professors to teach the courses because she thinks it's going to be a really popular degree. When I talked to her this week, she was about to go talk to prospective students, high school students, about the program, and she says there's been a lot of people who are interested in it so far, and so she's trying to spread the word about that. So we'll have to see what happens over the next couple years with this program and how it sort of can fill that need in the region. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that Neslihan Alp's next job, since she created the construction management program, is she's next going to create an undergraduate artificial intelligence degree for Oregon Tech, which she says would be the first in the state, and so I'll have to follow along with that too.
Yeah, well, we'll all have to. Thanks so much, Jane. Roman, we always give you the really fun assignments, and you went to a land use appeals hearing in Medford this week. Is that as fun as it sounds?
Yes, it's very fun. I actually do legitimately think it was really interesting, and that was why I was there. You know, it's about this proposed solar farm that would be just to the northwest of Ashland. So if you've ever been to Ashland, it would be just north of Highway 99 as you head into the city going underneath the railroad bridge. This was proposed by landowners and developers to create these tall tracking, I think around 70 solar panels that would be on these large steel poles and would track and follow the sun. It was tentatively denied, though, by the Jackson County planning staff. This project doesn't have to go through the planning commission or anything because it's a smaller project. And they denied it originally because it's on land that is zoned for exclusive farm use. So it needs to be used for agriculture. So for bringing us up to this week, an independent hearing officer is overseeing an appeal of that decision by the landowners. So they took public comment during that meeting this week and heard from the developers.
And what made you say, I want to go to this land use hearing, Maria? Please, let me.
Well, I think it's important to cover these kind of like nitty-gritty pieces of government, like these little meetings that are happening that people might not notice. You know, a lot of the time some of this stuff can get overlooked by residents. And I think this one was particularly interesting because it's happening right outside of Ashland, so it's not – you know, the city of Ashland is not taking care of it. And so some people were kind of, they showed up to the meeting, a lot of people, because they were like, oh, Jackson County is hiding this from us or something because it's in Medford and I have to come all the way over here for this you know, appeals hearing. So I think it was
But
just
it'll
kind
affect
of,
a lot of
Yeah,
Ashland
it'll affect
residents.
A lot of people in Ashland. Yeah, so I felt like it was important to cover, too, because of the prominence. I mean, it's going to be right on the entrance of Ashland, and it would be very visible to people entering and exiting. And it kind of seems like there's quite a bit of controversy surrounding the project. So, you know, that's kind of why I went down to the hearing to go and cover it.
Sure. Well, what makes this specific solar farm proposal so controversial?
Yeah, well, there were quite a few people that showed up to the Spiels hearing to talk against the project. The neighbors, specifically a lot of neighbors nearby who were concerned about a few things. The first would be the view, specifically the view of these solar panels. That seemed to be a big sticking point with a lot of people. It would be a very visible solar farm, like I'd said. It's right at the entrance to Ashland. It would also be visible from people living higher up on the hill. And then plus, there's also this new apartment complex of around 200-something apartments planned just south of the solar farm, a little bit higher up. So they'll all be seeing this solar farm instead of, you know, grassy land like it is right now. So the people at the meeting said they didn't want the solar farm to ruin the view and the cultural heritage of the area. The second point that they had mentioned was that they claim that this land is actually good for farming. The landowners say it's not good for farming, but there were a few people who claim that the owners were sort of lying about the productivity of the farmland. And one person said they worked at the farm in the past and that this land was really fertile and could be used to grow vegetables, unlike it is right now. And then there are a bunch of other miscellaneous complaints, like birds crashing into the solar panels thinking they're water, reflecting light into buildings up higher, or vandalism of these solar panels. So quite a lot of concerns.
Okay. Well, how did the landowners respond to those concerns?
Yeah. Well, in regards to the view of these solar panels, there's not much that people who are complaining about it can do legally. The land is not zoned by the county as historical or scenic or has any other kinds of protections. So the planning staff said that they can't consider the view of these solar panels when approving or denying the project. So it's just really not something that can be a part of this appeals hearing at all. In terms of the fertility, I mean, it's sort of hard to say. I mean, unless
you're
you
not an agricultural expert.
I'm not a soil expert, but you know, the landowner says this land is not good for farming. He says because of road construction, the land doesn't get enough water and it requires a lot of irrigation, and that trees recently have died because of a lack of water. And so it really can only be used to grow hay. Their goal is to use these solar panels to act as shade for livestock, and then they can grow hay underneath that the animal can feed on. So it'll actually provide more land for their livestock to graze. The other stuff, like the reflective concerns, it's kind of a misconception about how most solar panels work. I mean, solar panels are collecting energy from the sun, so any reflected energy is energy wasted. You don't want reflecting. So they're built to reduce as much glare as possible, unlike normal glass. And then they usually have special coatings that help prevent the reflectivity.
So even then they're not trying to shine the light back
into
your
eyes. Yeah, they're
not
trying to shine their light, and they shouldn't. I did see one study, though. I was looking at this, that showed that solar panels and bodies of water do share similar optical qualities for like birds or bugs. Mm-hmm. So they could mistake them for that, but that research was also done on solar panels without any of these special anti-reflective coatings. So it
that
seems
may
like
be different
more
now.
Yeah, it could be different.
Okay. Well, what is going to happen next with this solar farm, Roman?
Well, the open comment, there's this sort of open comment period for this appeals hearing that is open through December 16th. People have to submit hard copy, like written comments to the planning office by then. If you want to view the actual documents related to this and the letter stuff, you also have to go in person. It's not available online, which is a little bit frustrating, especially when you're reporting on stuff, having to go in person.
But, yeah, you know, and request it. And
yeah, exactly.
Make a copy or take photos with your phone. Or
yeah, exactly. And then so this hearing appeals hearing officer is then going to make a decision on that. There's also some rebuttal stuff by the landowner they can make, and she'll make a decision by January 6th about the project. And then regardless of either way, it could be appealed one more time to the State Land Use Appeals Board. But that's only people who oppose the project or the developer could actually appeal the project later on.
Okay, so if you want to say, get that say in now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thanks so much, Roman. That's it for the debrief this week. Thank you for listening. You can reach the newsroom with comments on our coverage and suggestions for things we should cover in the future through our news tip line. That's on our website, ijpr.org. And you can find this program and more at jeffexchange.org or on your favorite podcast platform.